We ask that you would just bless us together, Lord, in heavenly places this morning, in your presence, Lord, of the living word, Lord, promised and predestinated for this day and this hour. May you have your way now. Lord, speak to our hearts, guide us, keep us, as we ask all things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated, and we greet you now in the name of the Lord. We're happy to be here, and as been said, we're so happy for Brother Goomba to be back, and I'm feeling bad even standing here this morning, but we talked to the sisters last week, the last couple of weeks, and we had planned to have a dinner and everything, and so I'm happy to see that Bride's here this morning, but I think the last dinner we had, they weren't able to come, and then if we had it today, Asenoth wouldn't be able to come, so we decided to do it next week, and that way we would have everybody together, and maybe some others will come in also, and so we will we'll look forward to that time. And now we, some of us, a small group of us, was able to have some fellowship with Brother Goomba last night, and so he's got a lot of good things to say, and he's not going to get it done in one service, and so we want to give him as much time as he wants. So I think it's going to work out better, although it's hard. Like I said, I'm feeling bad that because I know he's fired and ready, but you're going to be blessed with the things that the Lord is doing, and I think that, and we've talked about this before, but we talked about it some more last night, and it's something that we really need to do. And somebody had posted a quote. Actually, I think it was Brother Keenan had posted a quote online, one of the groups. I think it was the Eagle Age, and it was talking about the mission work and the people, the things that the people are doing, and where they're spending their money, and all of these different things. And he said, and they're failing to get the word out there to those people that need it, to those countries that you know, those people that can't, some of those people don't move, they can't move, they don't have money, they don't have anything. And so God has helped us here and different places to be able to support that work. And so I think it's something we really want to do. And Brother Goomba is really on fire, wanting to get out there. So we're just praying that God will make a way that we can send him more, that we could love to go more. And but we know that somebody's got to be here. And so we know God will work that out accordingly. And so just we're just asking you to be praying for that, because we want to... we know that something's moving. We know that God is moving, and that it's affecting, especially in these other countries where there's a great fire is burning. And we want to just lend ourselves to the will of God. And so now I wanted to mention also about the Easter meetings coming, and we'll want to get together, but I'm going to throw out a couple of things this morning. And that is, first of all, I'm going to try to make, and I want Brother Michael to help me, Brother Goomba, to say as much as I can across the pulpit. We're talking back here, and we're posting on the church group, and texting and whatnot, and not everybody's on that. And so I'm going to try to say, remember to say as much as I can from here, so those that are listening can get it. Because some of them are not, they don't have the WhatsApp, they don't text, they don't do that, and that's okay. I'm not pushing anybody in that direction. The only problem is sometimes, you know, when we're notifying people, that's how we do it. And so if we had to call every person, you just, the time involved is extreme. You're not going to call somebody. It's going to take 10 minutes or 20 minutes or 30 minutes. Because you're going to get to talking, and so you don't have that luxury all the time. And so We're just, like I said, we're going to do our best from now to Easter to keep everything posted. And we've been talking about it a little bit, and now we're getting really serious because the time is getting shorter. And so some of the people, if the people that are trying to come, even if just half of them come, we're going to have quite a few coming from other countries that they're going to need a place to stay. They're going to need to be taken care of. And so that would be very costly to put them up somewhere. So we want to put out there, if you feel like you're able to have somebody in your home for at least a week, we're thinking that the services may go for that week if they come in like we're thinking, hoping, praying, then if you can feed them and take care of them, have a place for them to sleep for that week of Easter, then if you'll let us know, and then we can start making plans that way. And some has already, told us what they can do, and so we're working on those things. Brother Michael's working on the invitations, sent several out, and there's still several more that we need to get their information and get it to them. So the time is getting short. Those things take time. Those things take weeks, sometimes months. And so we want to try to get it all together as quickly as we can. And then the next thing is we wish we had the building. And so there's it's come Michael's got a lot done while we were in Kenya. And so we have the not the shingles, but we have the roof is waterproofed, and so the inside is dry. It's not completely closed in, so it's made some good progress. And so he's spent a lot of money on that, getting to that stage. And so we want to be praying about that. And we also we mentioned that we want to start some kind of building fund so that if you want to help out on the building, you can do that, and you can just write it on an envelope, whatever, however you want. And Brother Benjamin kind of spearheaded that because he said he wanted to send some money and help in that. So just be praying for that God will have his way. And then we don't know if that could be done in this short of time, but we want to just keep moving on, getting done what we can as we go. So be another thing for you to be praying about. And I think I'm gonna. That's there. So let me get right into it now. And so let me also say this: I didn't give Brother Goomba no warning, but he's always ready. And so I'm gonna do my best to quit a little bit early because he's gonna, even though he's gonna give his testimony next week, but he's gonna at least come and spend some time and talk to you this morning. So we're not gonna let that go by. And anyways, and that's why I sent the notice out last night. I told him, I said, and as soon as we talked about it, and it was a little bit late when when we got to that, he was telling us about the trip and everything, and so we had a really good time. And so then as soon as we decided that we would wait so that everybody could be here next week for that, then I sent it out on the group so that people weren't coming in this morning and expecting to hear him speak and then be disappointed because I was standing here. And so, but we're really looking forward to it next week. But he will come this morning and greet you and whatever he feels like, whatever he has on his heart to say. And then we'll look forward to the mission trip next week.
Amen.
So now, I had some things. We had other problems this morning. The water started going out. And we don't know what's wrong. It's just blowing air really bad. Started about 7:15 in the middle of my shower this morning. And so we thought that it was the neighborhood. And so they say, and I'm the only one that's called and complained. And so I went to the church and the people were coming in and got to greet some of the people I hadn't seen in a while. And checked their water there, and theirs is fine. And so it seems like it's just here. So maybe something under the house. I didn't have time to go, so that took up some of my time. And I had a few scriptures. I kind of the Lord just changed me, turned me a little bit here that I added in this morning. So always put you in a rush, and Satan's always trying to upset things. But we just thank God that he'll have his way, no matter what. It's making me think of something Brother Gumbo was saying yesterday, and as ministers, we know this, we see this, but he was talking about as he was traveling and not having no time to study, just coming in and maybe not even know he was preaching somewhere, and then just them taking him to the pulpit, just like that. And so, and how that God comes on the scene. And you know, that's the scripture. That's a promise in the scripture that he will do that. That he will give you in that moment, in that hour, what you have need of. And he said, don't take any thought. And I'm thinking, when we're preparing, we take a lot of thought. We're concerned and we're worried and we're under pressure and we're all that. But when you just go there and he just takes over. I enjoyed listening last night to Brother Goldman. It's that's where we're supposed to be.
Amen.
This is not the time, and I don't want to say this wrong, but you know that for thousands of years, it's been in the church, it's just been an argument. Religion's been an argument for thousands of years. This doctrine against that doctrine, this doctrine. Look at the children of Israel. There they were with the power of God, the supernatural, God delivering them. And what were they doing? They were arguing. Our man has got just as much as your man's got. Our man is this, your man is that, your man is this. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, thousands of years later, there was the same spirit right there upon them. We're better than you, better than you, better than you. And what was they? They were all brothers. They were all brothers and they were all arguing. Same 2,000 years, another 2,000 years go by, and what do? God comes on the scene, and we got thousands of denominations. We got thousands of ideas. God sends a prophet. He gives us a message, and what do? It takes 50 years. 50 years, and what have we done again? We got more groups splintered, splintered, splintered.
Yeah.
This is our group. We believe this. This is our group. We believe this. This is the time for the life. The literal life of Jesus Christ living in a people.
Yes, sir.
This isn't the time to argue and fuss and carry on. They can, whatever they want to do, they can do it. But for the bride, she is surrendering herself every day.
Amen.
That he might have that preeminence, that he might manifest himself, that this message will live in a people.
Amen.
On the earth.
Yes,
that's what we're here for. And he's taking us more away from all of those things. He's taking us away from the argument. Helping somebody, that's okay. Somebody don't understand, that's okay. Somebody just got a question, that's okay. But I'm talking about the churchianity.
Yes, sir.
I'm talking about the worldliness. I'm talking about those things. It's time that we get it all out and get away from it and let him have his way. So we've been talking about the keystone. And that Jesus Christ, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as many things, it's sometimes different than what we think, what we have in our mind, what the church has taught us, all that idea that's been out there. And I've said over and over that especially in my early Christian life, that this scripture was taught that whatever's preached, whatever God does in this age, then it can never be changed because it's the word of God. And so, and that's a logical thought to have. But what happened when it came in Moses' day and he said, you can't add to this or take away. And then, so that was the argument when Christ came, when John came, when Paul came. That was the argument. You cannot take away from what Moses said. Well, what they failed to see was the rest of what was said. The rest of what was said said that that's going to be done away with and that this is going to come. That's something new. That has become old and this new thing that's coming on the scene is going to be established. And that's what they miss. And so and that's what they miss in every year. Every time a prophet came, God was doing something new. God had another part of his plan, another part of his word, another part of the revelation unfolding himself. And so that's where they missed. So I want to begin in Matthew chapter 9, Matthew chapter 11 and verse 9. And he said, what went you out for to see? a prophet, yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. How can you be more than a prophet? Huh? For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before me. Verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Now, that's quite a statement. That's quite an identification of God himself, of Christ, identifying the forerunner, saying there's never been a man born of a woman, a greater prophet than this prophet that has come before you. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you'll receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, this, I just wanted to get this identification. Now, I got 3-4 small quotes here that are going to identify certain characteristics of the ministry of John, which is the first one in Contending for the Faith. And I think the title got, I missed the title there, didn't come over. Now, we have to begin with Christ if we're going to talk about Christian faith, because he's the beginning of the Christian faith. John came. John the Baptist preached in the wilderness of Judea. And he never done one miracle, never done any signs. Huh? The scripture said that this was the greatest prophet born of a woman. He was more than a prophet. And he never done one sign. He never done one miracle. Isn't that pretty amazing to think that Jesus, calling the greatest messenger, the greatest prophet, not one sign, not one miracle. And that's something that he's been showing us now as we've been coming through the Old Testament. We've seen Moses' day. We've seen the vindication of God in Moses' day, that Moses was going to bring a message that nobody had ever known. It was a new thing. He brought the law. He delivered them. All the signs, all the wonders, all the supernatural, things that had never been done from the foundation of the world. God was on the scene doing something new that they had never even imagined in their mind could be. Amen. Never even imagined. And even now in this day, some of the things that Moses did, people don't think it's possible. They don't think it's possible. How 2 million people could walk across on dry land. Yeah, it's so much for the mind to take. But it was done. And God was doing something in that day. And he came right down through every one of them prophets. And prophet after prophet, God is saying, as he said in Moses' day, I'll do a new thing. And he said he would open up the earth and swallow up Korah and Dathan and Abram. Every one of them, all their families, all pertain to them, all of their tents, all of the, every bit of it right there. He said, I'm going to do a new thing. And he did. And he came over in Jeremiah's day. He said, I'm going to do a new thing. He came over in Isaiah's day. He said, I'm going to do a new thing. He came over in Ezekiel's day. I'm going to do a new thing.
Yes, sir.
He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's unfolding himself. He's adding more to the book. He's adding more of his word. He's adding more of the revelation. He's adding more of the unfolding of himself to let us see him, who he is. All that time, never letting, Brother Adam said in Unveiling, he said, never letting out his mystery in full, but giving a little more and a little more and a little more. A greater witness. But I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. See? And the Father himself, which has sent me, has borne witness of me. Now, isn't that beautiful? Jesus Christ saying, now, you all believe John. He was a prophet. But he just preached anyway, see? You all went and believed him, and you know he was a prophet, though he never done one miracle. But he was the greatest prophet that ever lived. Jesus said so. Until his time, never was a man born of a woman as great as John the Baptist. And he never done one miracle, and he only lived 6 months. He's only preached 6 months. But why was he so great? Because he bore record of Christ. And when you see somebody giving God praise and God glory, and you can realize that person's coming from God, see, giving God the glory. That's right. John said, I must decrease, he must increase. They said, are you the Messiah? He said, I'm nothing. Huh? There it is. There's the right spirit. There's the right attitude. There's the right motive. But Jesus come around and said, oh, yes, he is. He's the greatest from among women. That's better, don't you think? Praise be to God. Let somebody else say it. Live so that somebody else will say it. I like that. See, that's the way to do it. Do the right thing. Somebody, God, will bear it record for you. Amen. You don't have to do it. God will do it. So there he says again, John never did a miracle, never did anything, just was the greatest prophet. One more time. This is, what is a vision? God, we see the foundation of our nation crumbling because of the rejecting of the gospel. While great men have swept this nation, combed through every place, the gospel messages went forth. A spirit like John the Baptist, not doing miracles or saying anything about miracles, but swept the nation over. Then the miracle working power of Jesus followed it as it did John. He's saying, he sent that messenger. There was no miracles, no nothing. Then Jesus comes behind it with those miracles. And still our nation, whiskey, tobacco, nightclubs, sin heaping on every side. Our great civilization is falling. See, falling. Everything must give way. All these kingdoms must fall that the kingdom of God might be issued in its brightness and the great millennium come into its place. Amen. Amen. So there he's three times. Now, he's going to take a turn here and he's going to say something different in identifying this ministry. And I want you to get this. He starts out talking about Jesus, John, the 12th chapter. See? And he said, let's go back to the first chapter of John. And we begin. We find out immediately after his birth that Jesus, I'm sorry, after his birth, that his public ministry started. And he's talking of Christ. The first thing we find him doing was praying for the sick. And he was associated with divine healing to begin with. Praying for the sick, great miracles accompanied his prayers, for the Father was answering the prayers of his Son. Then we know that there was a people in that day was looking for a Messiah. Now let's not lose this point now. They were looking for a Messiah, anointed one, a Christ that had been promised by the Old Testament prophets. All the way back to Moses' day, all the back to Deuteronomy, I think maybe chapter 18, it was promised. Think about, they were looking for a Messiah. Thousands of years later, that Moses spoke about back there. They were looking for that prophet. He said, there's one. God will raise up a prophet like unto me. The promise was there. He was coming. They were looking for a Messiah. They were looking for an anointed one, a Christ that had been promised by the Old Testament prophets all the way from Genesis down. See, had been promised an oncoming Messiah. Every generation looked for that Messiah. But the strange thing, when he arrived, they were so stooped in other things till they failed to recognize him to be the Messiah. every age, the same thing. They were so organized, so tight amongst that, disassociating themselves from one another. Pharisees, Sadducees, and so forth. Just as it is today. Brother Gumba, some of the things you said, I see it right here. Some of the things you said last night, I see it right here. And I have to hold myself back now not to say some of the things that he's going to share with you, because it's a great thing that God's doing. It's a great thing that God's doing. And I told you when I came that when I read that scripture in Acts 19, how that they had missed the Messiah. They missed him, and now they're coming back Some of them are coming back. Some of them aren't. Some of them are going away. Some of them that stayed here and said amen, while those were not understanding it, are now, these are leaving, but those are coming back. You can't explain it. God is in control. God is in control. God is getting His. And He won't lose not one. He won't. See, they failed to see it because of their relationship with their denomination. And may I say this with reverence and brotherly love, it's the same today. Now, when John the Baptist came on the scene, a miracle ministry, listen to this. Now, he said John didn't do no miracles. He didn't do no signs. He didn't do no wonders. He didn't have a gift of healing. He didn't have none of that. Watch this miracle that he's talking about. He had a miracle ministry, came on the scene of a phenomena, preaching. A phenomena of preaching. Think about that. And think about where the bride's at today, brother. That's where we are today. That's where we must be. Amen. We're not in the signs and wonders. That's all fine. All of that had to be. But all of the purpose of all of that was because God was on the scene and God was going to speak.
Amen.
God, because God was ready, the voice of the sign was ready to come forth.
Yes.
And it spoke in Christ. It spoke in the prophet. And it has to speak in the bride. We're not going back now to get the attention of the people.
Right.
No, the attention has been got. Worldwide, the sign has went forth. All of that's went forth. Now it's the phenomena. Now it is the miracle of the Word of God taking effect in the believer on the seed that God placed in there. That He put in there before the foundation of the world. That's where it's at now. Listen what He says about this. Talking about John the Baptist. See, a miracle ministry that came on the scene of a phenomena, preaching, like something on the order of Billy Graham, that we'd say today. When that great ministry came, the people was amazed. Look at Billy Graham. He didn't pray for the sick. He didn't do any signs. He didn't do any wonders. He didn't do any miracles. I don't think he even understood it. He didn't know how to deal with it. But what he had a gift was, he had a gift for preaching salvation and repentance. He had a gift for that.
Yep.
And John the Baptist had a gift. He had an anointing upon him to bring forth a revelation to the people.
Amen.
Without a sign, without a wonder. And that has to be part of the reason why he's saying this was the greatest prophet. Because it's easy when you have signs and you have wonders and you have visions and you have all of these things. But it's another thing. So when you can believe without all of that, when you can just believe the word without anything else to prop you up, to boost you up, he said that faith is greater.
That's right.
That faith is greater when you can just take a hold of what God is doing.
Amen.
And that's what John the Baptist went out there without all of that vindication. John's vindication came when Jesus walked in the water. And all of that time, he was just preaching, preaching, preaching. And this makes me think of that quote Brother Branham said, that in Luther's day, the Spirit of God came in and took the word that Luther was preaching, and he said he directed it into that. He directed into that, and that Spirit anointed the seed of that age, and those people received it and they believed it.
Yes,
just out of when the Catholic Church had such a hold upon the people, when the priests had such a hold upon the people, here was somebody who stood up and stood against all of that, knowing he could be killed, knowing he could be put to death, but yet he stood up, just like John the Baptist. And John the Baptist even paid his life. With his life, a price for this.
Amen.
They stood up and the Spirit of God came on the people. And that's, to me, that's a phenomena. It's a phenomena to think that this guy with no education, with no proper training, with no proper clothing, no proper diet, no proper anything, nothing that associated him with society of that day, nothing that made him a normal person in that day, that God put a special anointing upon him, a miracle ministry, he's saying, of phenomenal preaching.
Amen.
That his preaching was so powerful that the people of that day, they came down and whatever he said, that's what they did.
Yes,
nobody had ever heard of being baptized in the water. Could you imagine the carnal mind sitting up there laughing at those people? Baptizing them? Taking them into the water?
Yeah.
What is this doing? Huh?
Amen.
There was such a powerful anointing upon his ministry that the people seen the reality of God. They seen the power of God. And that's how it always is. That when you have something real, the people around you, God will anoint them to believe that thing. The problem is, the people can see when it's something fake. The people see when it's a put on. When that woman at the well, when she ran in to the city, those men, everybody in that place knew what she was. Everybody there knew her reputation. They knew her past. They knew everything about her. But her testimony was so real and so powerful that they believed what she had to say. They believed it. The Bible says they believed it. How many times over? I was thinking of a couple more things yesterday on the same lines. It was there. One of them was that little girl that was down there was a slave in Naaman's house. She was a slave. She was just a servant. And she was a little girl. I don't know how old she was. And I don't know, Brother Branham said, maybe some reason I was thinking around 12 years old, something like that. I don't know. I don't know if anyone knows. But anyways, there's this little girl, and she's in the house, and she's talking to her master. And she's saying, I would to God that you were there in Israel, because we have a prophet there who could heal your arm, could heal that leprosy.
Yes, sir.
Could you imagine the testimony of a little slave girl? Now, she's not even of age. She's not grown up. She's not mature. She's just a little girl. But her testimony, God anointed her testimony so much that the leader, a general in the army, the Syrian army, would believe her message.
Amen.
And travel with his army all the way to Israel to find this man, to find this prophet.
Yes,
that's a testimony. That's a testimony. And brother and sister, that's got to be our testimony. That's got to be our life. It's got to be real. It's got to be a reality. It cannot be no more this churchianity. It can't be the worldliness. It can't be pretend. It can't be mixed up with the world and mixed up with this and mixed up with that. It's got to be the real thing. And when it is, then those people around you will see the living God made manifest. They will see Him. They will recognize Him. They'll know that He's in you. They'll know what's going on. It has to be. He told them He was not the Messiah. See? Did I get it all? Did I miss any? When that great ministry came, the people was amazed. And many of them thought in their heart that this was the Messiah. That ministry was so powerful that they thought He was the one. In this day, you know it was the same thing. The ministry was so powerful, they thought He was the one. And even when He told them that He wasn't, many of them continued right on. And they do till this day. They still believe. They still try to baptize in His name. They still try to follow after those things. Now, there's something wrong on the inside because they're not believing what He said.
Amen.
And that's what's wrong. That's what's wrong in the churches. That's what's even wrong. And I'm not judging none of them. And I'm not judging Joseph or Billy Paul or none of them. I appreciate what they're doing. I appreciate the work. But I've been there. I've visited. I've stood outside and talked to some of them. And they're not hearing what He said. They're not hearing what He said. They think they have an idea that as long as I'm listening to the tape and nobody else, I'm the one. I'm the one. That ain't no difference, Brother Goomba, than somebody sitting here in town telling us that I use the book, so I'm right. These computer people, and they do this and they do that. But I read it right out of the book. That's as carnal can be.
That's right.
that you take, it's just like saying speaking in tongues is the evidence. What's the difference?
Right.
What's the difference? I read out of the book, so I'm the right one. I'm the closest one to the real thing because I read out of the book. When you get a revelation, it won't matter what you're reading out of. The book, the computer, you don't even have to have anything. It'll just come out of you. It's in you. You are the book. You're the walking book. You're the living book. And it comes out. He was only a forerunner, see? He wasn't the Messiah. He would come after. That would come after, see? Then when Jesus come and John recognized him by a sign that was in the wilderness, God the Father had showed John that he would not be deceived in seeing the true Messiah because he would have a sign that followed him. And we must remember that the Messiah, according to the Old Testament teaching, was to be a prophet. Deuteronomy 18:35. That's right. See, was to be a prophet. And so that sign was given. And God promised John that you will recognize him. You won't miss him. You won't be deceived. You'll be given a sign and you will see him. You will know him. You will identify him to the people.
Amen.
I don't even have to say, what about this day?
Yep.
You're already thinking it.
Yes, sir.
You're already thinking it when I'm saying that. You're already thinking that's exactly what happened today.
Amen.
That's exactly what happened today when he said, that seventh angel will be standing on the earth when he comes?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You go back and read through the breach. Go back and read through those early, some of those messages. There's no two ways about it. When that seven seal book was revealed, Christ had to be here.
Yes.
He had to be. He said, all these things, they go together. They all went together. They all went together. You talk about the rapture. You talk about the resurrection. You talk about the two witnesses. Brother Goomba was talking last night about the trumpets. The seventh trumpet, the great trumpet.
Amen.
He said, Thessalonians. When the rapture coming down. He said, all three of those, he said, it's the same trumpet. Not another trumpet. Brother Branham said it's the same. Brother, I'm sorry. He shared all. He just blessed us last night. We had a good time with him and Asenoth, and so now it's all over me, and I'm trying not to say it, but I'm sorry. But it's good, and it'll be good when he says it. It'll be good when he says it. So I'll do my best to stay away from it. But it just goes in here so well. It just keeps fitting in here. So let's look at another one in Matthew chapter 13. I want to get a couple more scriptures in here, and I want to remind you now, we came all the way through the Old Testament, prophet after prophet after prophet, doing something that had never been done, doing something over and over and over that had never been done before. And he showed us, he told us what it was, this. And now in the New Testament, he's identifying the same thing. Matthew 13, begin at paragraph 30, verse 34. All of these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables. And without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, and I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Now these things that Jesus is saying, that bottle of water has been up there for a month. Now it's gone. Thank you, brother. So he's saying that he spoke things, or everything he spoke was in a parable. And the reason that he spoke in a parable is to fulfill the word of God. Is that right? To fulfill the words of the prophet. And he's going to tell us what those words are, but he's saying to fulfill what the scripture said. See? And then he tells us that he's speaking things that had not been known from the foundation of the world. Now that's exactly what we read all the way through the Old Testament. Over and over and over, God was doing something that had never been known, never been heard of, never been said before. And now we come into the New Testament and here's the same thing. Now, we can say that about John the Baptist with no problem. Because there was never a prophet like this. And here was, and he's saying this is the greatest one. So this is the ministry, and this was the first one to introduce the Messiah. There was not another prophet until that time who could stand and say, this is him. Amen. This is the one. Identify him. And so, I don't know, as far as I know, every prophet had some kind of supernatural sign, some kind of miracle. And John did too. He said it was a miracle ministry. It just wasn't the signs and wonders and the healing ministry. It was actually a phenomenal preaching ministry, that the anointing upon his message to condemn what was exalted. What was exalted, just like the Catholic Church was exalted to the heavens, just like some of these message churches, they're exalted up here, and everybody else is down here. And that's what the Pharisees and Sadducees had done in that day. They had exalted themselves up here. We're the authority. We're the ones. And they're all claiming to believe the same God, the same Bible, the same sacrifice, the same everything, but everyone's wanting to be number one, number one, number one. And here, God brings this guy, the lowest of the low, the most unlikely, the most doesn't look like it, the most doesn't sound like it, the most doesn't have the training for it. And God stands there and condemns every single one of them.
Yes, sir.
Not some of them, every one of them.
Amen.
And Jesus picked up the same mantle and preached exactly the same thing and condemned every one of them again. Paul comes along with the same mantle and does it again and condemns every one of them again.
Yes, sir.
That's exactly what it was built on in this day. That's what it's been built on in every age. Luther condemned it. Wesley condemned it. The prophet condemned it.
Yes,
condemned it. All. Because it was man. That was the problem. That's where he told us in the scripture. You can't add to it and you can't take it away. It wasn't talking about God continuing his word. He was talking about man interpreting his word. He was talking about man adding his ideas and taking away.
Yes, sir.
There's where the problem is. It's always, the problem is with man.
Amen.
It's a misinterpretation.
Amen.
All of these things, let's see, we're 35. Let's just get the last half of 35 again, because I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. All right, so all those prophets in the Old Testament, John the Baptist, now here's Jesus bringing a message that had never been heard by mortal ears. Never been heard. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. See? And so he starts going through it, and he goes through, you know, the stony places and the thorny places and the good ground. And then, but verse 9, he says, and he who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given. It's given to you. It's not given to them. Now, did you earn it? Huh? Did you earn it? No, you didn't earn it. You didn't even know about it. You didn't even know it was there for the taking. We didn't know in this day. But it was given to us. You were going along in your life, whether you were religious or you weren't religious. You were going along, and all of a sudden, one day, he gave you ears to hear. And you heard something that you recognized. And it was something that sounded right to you. And it's something that turned your whole life around and sent you in another direction. Contrary to the world, contrary to man's idea, contrary to your own idea, God sent you in another direction. For whosoever hath, verse 12, Matthew 13, 12, listen to this one. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. So what I'm wondering is, whosoever hath, what is that?
Amen.
What is it that you hath?
Yes, sir.
What do you have?
That's it.
Huh? Whosoever hath, it shall be given. Whoever has the seed of God, whoever has the word of God in them, then they're the ones who are going to receive the word of God.
That's right.
Whoever has some of the word is going to receive more of the word.
That's right.
You're going to get it in abundance. If it's in there in seed form, you're going to get it in abundance when he comes, the word coming to the word. And he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not. Huh? What is that? He said in the non-seed, there's nothing there to quicken.
That's right.
So if you don't have anything, you're not going to get anything.
Amen.
Whosoever hath not, but from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Huh. They're going to go further away. That's scripture. That's what happens. When you come in contact with it, and we don't talk about this too much, but this, I think this is really manifesting. The more we come into, the closer we come, the more into the last days, the more that these things are becoming real. And that is that when they reject it, especially those that are fighting it, he turns them over to a reprobate mind. And when he turns you over to a reprobate mind, then you would rather believe a fairy tale. You would rather believe a lie. That's the scripture. You would rather believe a lie than to believe the truth. Now that is a power. That's just, to me, that's a revelation as powerful as anointed ones at the end time. They can be anointed with the true Holy Spirit and still be false. And when they come in contact with this thing, and he said over and over, there's no accountability, and don't take this just literally, because you have your accountability. But he said, until you hear it, and he said, when you hear it, he said, now you're responsible. You're responsible now. So when, and that's the reason why we need to get this message out. That's the reason why we need to be the living word, so that it's being manifested and that it's being seen and that it's being heard. And we need to do our part to put it out there. And you talk about putting up treasures in heaven. That's where it should be. That's the greatest reward. That's the greatest treasure. That's the greatest payment that you're ever going to get is introducing this, or sending somebody to introduce this to that predestinated seed out there, waiting for this revelation, waiting for this thing. 14, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. Huh? Those rejectors, in those rejectors is the scripture being fulfilled, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. They look at it, they see it, they see the miracle, they see the supernatural, they see people get up out of wheelchairs and walk, they see the blinded eyes receive their sight, they see the dead raised up, and they still can walk off and not believe it.
Amen.
They see this revelation unfolding. They hear preachers that are anointed to preach it, and they hear them, and they know, they're seeing it. They're seeing it come right through the message. They're seeing it come through the Bible, and they're saying, that's exactly right. But I don't believe it. I've always believed it this way. I'll always believe it this way. That's where some people are. They'll never change. They're just right there. They're not going to change under any circumstances. They're right there. There's nothing there to quicken. That's the problem. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. And I was thinking of this. I was thinking of this morning and yesterday, and I was thinking, you know, these Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes and Herodians and all of them, however many thousands, however many millions, however many there was of them, they were 90-something percent against Christ. They were against him. They rejected him. And I thought about that, and I thought, here he is coming to his own. And it took me right back to Moses' day. Here he was delivering them from slavery, delivering them. They've been crying for 400 years. They've been crying for deliverance.
Amen.
And he comes on the scene And they complain and they fuss and they say, no, you're not the only holy one. Our man. This is our man right here. They were dividing up.
Yes, sir.
They were dividing up.
Right.
No matter what God's doing, Satan is right there to distort, yes, to create chaos, to create a lie, to create an impersonation.
Yep.
Every time. Always, he's right there.
Amen.
And I thought, you know, I just momentarily, I got sidetracked and I thought, God, Brother Branham said the same thing. He said, why don't you just destroy the whole thing? Just destroy the whole thing. And that's, we're getting sidetracked when we go there. God is expressing himself. And it might be in a handful, but God is enjoying it. God is happy with it. It don't matter how many million, the more millions are against it, and the smaller the group is, just makes God that much more pleased with this right here. He don't care about all of that. He cares about this. And all of that is to make this shine.
Yep.
Right? It's just going to make this shine. And that's all he cares about, is that elect, that predestinated seed. And a praise be to God. That's all we want. That's all we need. Yep. Just that right there. 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Praise God. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men had desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Praise God. That's in that day. He was talking to the people in that day.
Yep.
How much more in this day, that these people that were blessed there, that heard these things, that those prophets before them longed to see that day, how much more now? Because now, he said, they can't even be made perfect without us.
Right.
No, they can't see it. They can't get it. This is the rest of it. This is the body. This is that part of the body that brings the capstone. And this is what makes the thing perfect. Praise be to God. And it's all him. Let's get one more. So we talked about John. We talked about Jesus. And this is Jesus here. John 9:32. And I took it just because of what it says here. Since the world began, was not it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? So there's another one. Him saying that this had not been done since the foundation of the world. So God's doing something in that day that had never been done before. That's how he's the same. Now, let's get to the next one. As we got, I want you to notice something. And we'll try to bring it to today. But I want you to notice three ministries, how close together those three ministries are. We have the forerunner, John the Baptist. Then we have the Messiah. And then we have Paul. And look how close together they are. I mean, it's just boom, boom, boom. Here comes John. He's preaching. Jesus arrives. They kill John. Jesus starts preaching his message. 3.5 years, they kill him. Here comes Paul. And I know Paul, there was some time there for Paul because he had to go to the backside of the desert. It took a bit of time. He was still killing Christians to start with. So there was a little gap there, but we could safely say less than 100 years, we had three messages. And they were different. They were different. John was introducing the Messiah. Jesus was paying the price. And then Paul was dividing this thing and bringing them the revelation of what just happened.
Yes.
So they could understand what just happened here. And so, and introduced to them what he said was a new and living way. And the Spirit was poured out after Christ. On the day of Pentecost, the Spirit was poured out upon them, and they got the ordinances, they got all of these things. So, let's just go to Romans 16. 24. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Now here, why does this thing keep popping up? Why does it keep popping up? Why is Jesus saying he did that which was hid from the foundation of the world? Now here comes Paul saying he was preaching a message that had not been known from the foundation of the world. We read it all the way through the Old Testament, all the way through. It's the same thing over and over and over. And we know exactly what our prophet said, that these mysteries, those seven mysteries, were hid from the foundation of the world. They had never been known. Never been known before. And that's at least part of the reason why that we're on this, is to get that idea out of people's minds. Because they're still trying to go back and find it in there somewhere. It's not there. The basis of it's there. It always is. Remember, it has to be identified in the Word. We read that. We read it. We'll read it again if we have time. It has to be identified in the Scripture. And it does. It goes Old Testament, New Testament. It's identified all the way through. But there's a part of it that had never been known until this day. And that's where we are. And that's what the seed in you, that's what the Spirit in you, and the Spirit of the last days on the bride comes to open that, to quicken that, to reveal that, and make it live out in the bride. That's where we are. That's what we're here for. Let me read it again. See, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Now, we read also in, the other day, we read in Isaiah, the prophecy of Isaiah, that they wouldn't, I don't know if I can remember, that eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither entered into the mind, the hearts of the people. Isaiah prophesied. Paul comes along in Corinthians, says the same thing again, and says, it's not entered into, you've never seen it, you've never heard it, it's never entered into the heart of man, these things. And people preach it like that. But in the next verse, I think the 10th verse maybe, he said, but it's been revealed to you. It was revealed in that day. They begin to open up. All of it? No. Oh, that was in part. That revelation began to open up and they begin to see what it was all about. And that's what makes this age so beautiful, because this age caps the revelation. This age finishes the revelation, brings it to a reality. That's right. So, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God. Now that's what he said in Corinthians. But now. Now is it made manifest. Now is it revealed. Now is it made known. See? According to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Amen. Praise be to God. So there was John, the forerunner, the greatest ever. He introduced the Messiah. Didn't do no miracles. Just had a phenomenal, anointed preaching ministry that God used. Jesus Christ comes on the scene. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of God. He pays the price on Calvary. He finishes the thing. He opens the door and calls the first prophet of the first church age to come on the scene. Paul comes on the scene. He opens the Gentile dispensation. He introduces Christ to the world, tells them, he takes them back into the Scripture. He identifies this thing that's taken place through the Scripture, Scripture after Scripture after Scripture. And as I told you the other day, these Scriptures, we're seeing more and more and more. And I was guilty of laying my Bible down and just reading the message. But I'm telling you, it's in the Scripture. The basis, it's in there. You look at these mysteries, it's in there. Brother Branham said it's in there. And he said, it's not in there. He said, it's not written. And he said, but the Lord will help us to find where it's written. Sound like a play on words, don't it? It's just right between the lines. It's just right between the lines. It's no problem for the elect. He can say things that just seem like it throws you way off. It makes it look like it's something else. And he just, I told the people this the other day, but when we were coming one night from Pokot, we got too late and the motorbikes was not available. And it was a 30-minute ride into town on a motorbike. And so there was a brother there that had a vehicle. He said, I'll take you. So we got in the car and we're going along. And so I was just fired up, had a good day of preaching, 5 hours of preaching, three services. And so I'm just still talking about it, and so this brother asked a couple questions. And so I'm telling him, I'm saying, these things, so many things are said to throw the people off. And I said, and we got to talking about the Godhead. And I said, Brother Branham said that God is not one like your finger. And I said, that's just how I preached for 20 years, that he's just like that. He's one like my finger. And so this brother, he just went quiet. He was driving the car and Joseph was in the back and I was sitting beside him. And he just quiet. And you could just see he's just taking this in. And all of a sudden he's holding the wheel and he's saying, God is not one like your finger. And I could tell it hit him hard. It hit me hard when I heard it. It hit me. I probably read it a few times, maybe, and it didn't even bother me. I just went right by it. But one day it hit me. One day it hit me, and I said, that's exactly what I'm preaching. Just like when he said about the seven thunders and the unveiling of God. He said, you be careful when you say that. Huh? Because I thought, that's exactly what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. It's a revelation given to some man. Brother Branham said, no, you can't. He said, be careful when you say that. He said, because you can't add to it and you can't take away. So then he begins to explain it. The problem is, as Brother Holmes used to say, he starts talking about it and he don't tell you till he's about five pages over there and you done forgot about it. Yeah. You done forgot all about what he was going to tell you. And how many times did he do it? He did it in Anointing Ones at the End Time. He did it in Unveiling. He did it in different messages. Brother Branham said, if I don't tell you, God will reveal it to you. And then he just keeps talking. And here it comes. Here it comes. It's there. But sometimes you forget. You just go back to reading. And you're hearing it. You're reading it. But you're not relating it back there where it should be. So it's just beautiful. So there you have those three messages. So what do we get today? Does the same thing happen today? Did we have a forerunner today? We know we did. Did Christ come and break the seals today? We know that he did. Did he come back in the bride? We know that he did. We know that he did. And those three ministries were just like those two. They were just right close together. There was the messenger. There was the Messiah. And there he said, he goes up, the bride's raptured, and he comes back. And there he is, manifesting himself in the bride. Amen. Right there, bringing it down. I'm going to skip this in Hebrews here, and I'm going to drop down to invisible union. And actually, I could really just stop right here. I was going to maybe give Brother Goomba 30 minutes or so. He can take as long as he wants, but according to our normally around 1 o'clock time. Let's just read this one here. And the problem is I start reading, I won't want to stop. The invisible union, let's just read. I think this is 64 maybe. And through our creeds, we have disassociated the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Disassociated the fellowship of the Holy Spirit to anoint the Word. We've put him so far away from us that he can't anoint the Word that we're supposed to be believing. And so we're reading it and we're just keeping a carnal idea, intellectual idea. He's not able to anoint this thing because we've disassociated. That's what the people have done. They've disassociated. It's what he said about, in vain do they worship me. In vain. Huh? Because they've disassociated themselves from this thing. See? Disassociated the fellowship of the Holy Spirit to anoint the Word of God that's laced out for this generation. We have separated the people so by denomination that they cannot have a chance to see it. And now God In every generation, he adds a new part of his book. How often does he do this? Every generation, God adds a new part. What does that mean? It means he's unfolding himself, continually unfolding himself, continually the word is coming, the word is coming, the word is coming, revealing Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. It all goes together. See? Now we find in this, each generation, God has lauded his word from the beginning. That's Hebrews 13:8. That's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what it was back there in Adam's day, coming out, God revealing himself, God making himself known. There he was in Moses' day, God revealing himself, God making himself known. Just in a little part, in a little part. But we've seen another piece of him. We've seen him in Noah's day. We've seen him in Jeremiah's day. We've seen him there in Ezekiel, how he began to introduce some grace. Even under the law, he was trying to introduce some grace. He said, no, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. You're not going to die because your daddy did wrong. You're not going to die because your son did wrong. No, you're going to obey. And if you repent for what you've done, then I'm going to forgive you for it. There he was. You've seen that nature of God begin to be expressed. Back there, when they didn't know nothing about it, everything was no mercy, no grace, no nothing. There he was expressing it. And he was trying to show the people. And they're saying, no, 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 that's not fair. We need to kill all of them. The father sinned, we kill the son. We kill all of them. Huh? He was trying to get them away from that. God, help us to get away from it today.
Amen.
Killing everybody spiritually. Spiritually. No, they don't believe like us. Kill them. They don't go to our church. Kill them. They don't do that. Kill them. That's what people are doing.
Yes, sir.
And we've been guilty. I've been guilty.
Yes, sir.
God will do that.
Amen.
God will take care of that.
Yeah.
He wants me to shine the light.
Yeah.
He wants me to express his nature. That's it. Just surrender and let him do what he wants in that moment. In that moment.
Amen.
One time, one moment, he may want you to be humble and be quiet and don't say a word. And the next moment, he might want you to scream.
Yes, sir.
He might want you to condemn that thing. He might want you to bring judgment on it. Just be surrendered and let him do what he wants to do.
Amen.
That's right. Praise be to God. 303. God had to open those seven seals, not in a denomination. I've always been against it. But out of a denomination, that he might take a bride, not a denominational bride. He couldn't do it, see? It's against his own word. He opened those seven mysteries in there that shows forth and brings forth those things that's been hid since the foundation of the world. How long ago? Never been known since the foundation of the world, that it might be revealed in the last days to the sons of God. Praise be to God. That it brought that forth now before the people, that they see it there. You now to this undenominational bride. Oh my. Praise be to God. Praise be to his lovely name. That's where we are. That's who we are. That's God is having his way in his bride. And I want more of it. I want to get surrendered, fully surrendered.
Amen.
Every day,
amen.
Die some more.
Amen.
That's what I want.
Amen.
Amen. And I see it. I see it around me. I see God in his elect. I see God doing this thing.
Amen.
And I was just enjoying it so much last night. You know, when you come back, you're on fire. And Brother Goomba was just on fire. And so we're really looking forward to him bringing it on Sunday, but he's going to come now. And actually, I'm going to ask Brother Michael first. I'm going to ask Brother Richard if he'll come and lead us in a song, and then he'll invite Brother Goomba to come. And so I got Brother Richard on the spot the other day. I was having problems with the computer, and I needed Michael, and so Brother Richard just walked up and just took over, and so it was really good. And so we thank God. We'll ask you to stand together with us now, and let's sing a song or two, and then we'll Brother Gumbo come. Amen. God bless you, brother.
Anybody got any suggestion?
Page 192.
Amen. All right, 192. Be 166.
I was not expecting this, but that's all right. thank you, Brother Don, for the service, for the sermon, and may God bless you for this. This is good. It's very nice to get back home, and the kind of reception that you have given me, I'm very, very thankful. I don't think I'm worth this. And when I arrived at the airport, I saw those people, and you people, sometimes you don't realize it until until this time. You realize how much you're loved, how much you... I don't consider myself as anybody, but you people, I don't know what... you see things that are... I don't see. I mean, I'm a nobody. And then when you receive me like that, I'm very, very, very thankful. when they took me to the airport in Kenya, there were two vehicles full of people taking me to the airport. When they said that my flight is cancelled, some people were telling me, why don't you go back home? I said, I don't want to go back home because they really labored to take me to the airport. I don't want that again. So I said, just put me in the hotel, let me stay in the hotel, and let me go. So I just called them. I said, just go home, don't worry about that. They put me in the hotel. And I'm talking about that care, that love, that respect, that honor. It's so, so great. And I just had told the people there that we don't have a bigger brother or a bigger sister or a smaller sister. We are all equal in the eyes of God. We are simply the children of God. And when we see something like that, is you value God in a brother. And that is very, very, very good. It's not that I've lived a life that is showing Christ more than others, but we are all there. We are all the tabernacles of God. Jesus Christ took His throne. His throne is the bride, and he's staying there now. And when you recognize that, when you see a sister, you see Jesus Christ. When you see a brother, you see Jesus Christ. And that's a great, great thing. And I'm torn between there. I love them so much. When I come here, I don't want to leave you. And I'm looking for that time when we all get together and live in one place. And it's coming. I know it's coming. May God bless you for your love, for your care, for your concern and everything. I know I have a family. I know I really have a family. Amen. And my family is you. So I love you. I love you very, very much. Now, I don't know what to give because it's a very, very long story. It's a long story. Since I went there, I've been so, so very busy, Sister Esther. People are waiting for you. I didn't know how to tell them that you're not coming. And they love you. And those people love you people very, very much. I'll just give a small story about, I'll start when somebody, a sister in the church lost her mother. A sister in the church lost her mother. She came from a church where they don't believe like we believe. Now, when she came to our church and heard what we are studying for, and that has happened to two brothers there. Brother Don knows Brother Joshua Marwa. Brother Joshua Marwa didn't believe this. And people talked against it and said, don't even go there. Don't even go to that church. And one time, he got a job in Thika, just near there. And now he got a house far away from Thika so that he doesn't come to our church. But one time he didn't have money to go to Nairobi to church. And he said, what do I do now? And I'm just going to go and just sit there and then get out. And that's how he was caught up. He came, and I think, I don't know what I was preaching at that time, and I was just preaching. And then he listened. Not this time, it's a long time ago. And he listened, and he cannot go nowhere else. He cannot go nowhere else. He says, they don't say nothing. He's caught up there. Yeah, no, he can't go nowhere. There's another brother, Brother Don knows Brother Karanja. And I know, and I think I have realized this, they are listening. What you, Brother Michael, is doing is very good. God bless you. They even when they don't listen in because they are having their service, or they go back there, they listen.
Amen.
I heard very many people that I even didn't know that they listen in, yeah. But they listen, they know. They say, you say this. So brothers, we are doing you people are doing a very good job. But Brother Michael, keep it up. God bless you. We are taking it over there, and so I know they are listening. So there's another one, and maybe he's listening in, or he's going to listen in, and maybe he's going to hear this. Because this is true. This is from Kisumu. It's very from far away. So he was told how I was bought by... That's a long time ago. He was told how I was bought by the white man. Those times were Obamadora. I was bought by Obamadora, you know, like that. And that's why I stand for the things that I stand for. And they said that I'm so bad that if I greet you, I'm going to kind of hypnotize you. I'm so doubt I can happen. That's what he was told. So I heard a brother was sick. This brother was Brother Karanja. No, there's another brother who passed on. And now when I'm seeing this brother who was passed on, I think I had come from India those days. And then this brother, I heard that the brother, his name is Karanja, also he's passed on. He had fell and broke his arm. So I said, I'll pass there and greet him. So I passed there and greeted him. He had a small shop. At the end of the shop there, I saw a brother there, somebody there. I said, who is this? He said, it's a brother from Kisumu. He said, how are you, brother? He didn't even want to come near me and greet me because of the reputation, how bad I am, how bad I'm, so old, like that. I said, okay, I'm not going to. I said, where is he going to work now? Because he's from Kisumu. Where is he going to work now? He said, he's going to work in Thika. Okay, so he'll be coming to church. No, he cannot come to your church. He said, where is he going to go? He said, another church there is a monogamy group. He's going to be there. So, okay, whoever, but I want him to be in church, where quotes of the prophet are going to be read. I said that and I went. So he's the tribe of a brother that was my co-pastor. And tribes in Kenya is very, brings people to close together. So he's a tribe from Churchill, or Brother Mishakina then. Now, he goes to Brother Churchill to have a sleepover. So he goes there, and they talk, and how he cannot even come near me. And Churchill told him, the best thing you can do, don't say that, just go to that church and just sit there. Don't stay home. Just sit there and get out earlier before we get out, before they greet you, and go home. He said, okay, I'm going to do that. And he come and sit at the back there. And I saw somebody, when I'm preaching, I saw somebody over there. He said, God bless you. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. He didn't even listen. His hand up. And so I just continue preaching. I don't know who he is. So I continue preaching. When he got out there, I heard somebody holding my hand, just holding my hand like that and refusing me. I said, what is this? I said, and he said, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. And from there, brother, he didn't leave that church until he was transferred back home. And when he went back home, he was asking, what did Brother Gumba say? Every day, every Sunday, he would ask like that. And now, I had also to control it. Because it went so far that he could not listen to nobody. He was saying, people are not saying anything. I said, no. You've got to come a place where you listen. When they read those quotes, just listen to them. You will get something from there. And I had to call that. And he was there, brother. He was the one who came with Brother Mishik. He was in the church. He was in the convention, brother. His name is Brother Morris. He preached. A very short man there. He preached. He's very good. He's coming up, and is one of them that I really want to stay with him a bit. And these people are good. They are poor. They don't even have the gadgets. They don't have the right phones even to listen to us. Sometimes they go to a cyber cafe to do something like that. So now this girl that lost a mother is like that. He didn't believe that you can say anything. But when he got to us, now he cannot go nowhere. Brothers, we got to realize there's a real demarcation between what we stand for and the other message churches. And unless you come and get into it, you think we are, no. Because I went to Kambani. I'm going to give you that story another day. I went to Kambani and I found those people saying, we are the rapture. And everybody, they find this, we are the rapture. When they find these other people, we are the rapture. and I liked it because they identifying themselves where we stand for and that we are different. We are message believers, but we are different. We are here and you people are here. When it comes to revelation, you are in the Pentecostal church and we are above Pentecostal church. We are done with Pentecostal church. And sometimes they don't say it exactly right. But I love it because of the identification, identifying themselves with this message. When you see people like that, they are haggling, they are thirsting. And when you talk to them, it's like it really touched me. And I went back to those days. Maybe I'll read that quote sometimes. It really touched me. It did touch me to see those brothers traveling from very far, walking, and when they come, they're asking questions. They want to hear. They just don't want nothing. They don't want hierarchy. Like you're here. They're not interested with that. All they're interested is they want to hear this. They want to hear this. They have questions, and when they ask, you might think they are even disagreeing with you, because they ask very concrete questions and you got to answer, and they are there. They don't go even after the service. They don't go. They surround you like that, and you see that kind of thirst, that kind of hunger, brother. It breaks me down. I mean it was so heavy in me. I felt like I was telling Brother Don, Brother Don, I'm very sorry for last night. I was very emotional. I was telling Brother Don, I don't know, I want to go back. When you see those hungry souls like that, you feel like you're doing wrong to be away and not talking to them, brother. I feel my heart so heavy. I want to tell them. I want to give this to them. And they are poor. They're in the villages there. And it's so, brother, it's so real. It's so real that you see some things, you see them crying. You see, and it's really touching, brother. It's really touching. So this girl was like that, and now she came. She believes this. She's in it completely. She doesn't have a father. I don't know where the father went. They give stories about where he is. I think he's not been at home. They don't know where he is. So the only mother that has brought her up just died abruptly. She died in a convention in Kisumu. They were in a convention in Kisumu, and she died. And it hit her so hard. So I was going to... Around that time, Brother Moses called me. Brother Moses is kind of... if he hears this, I'm not saying that. It's over now because we talked. But there was kind of a separation between us. That's why we had two conventions in very like this gate and this gate, because we are kind of completely separated. But now he called me just from the bruise. I don't know where, but just from the bruise after the camp was over. I'm from the bruise, and he says, "Can I talk to you?" And people did not want me to go. I said, "No, I'm going." So I went there. We spared quite a bit of almost the whole night together. We talked. He said sorry about the things he's done. And I said, "God bless you, brother. Let's forget it. Let's go ahead. Go ahead." And now we decided that I'm going to go preach in Muranga. A thing that would not have happened before. This is, I'm saying, these things, I don't know. God is doing something. Brothers, don't. God is doing something.
Amen.
God is doing something. Those people that we thought had given up. One of the brothers had given up. I've talked to her, to him. I've gone to his house. I've done all I could do. And here he is now, believing things, preaching to me the serpent seed. And I looked at it, okay. And now, that's another story that I'll give. He came to my place. He came at, we started talking at 9 in the evening. And we were partying the following day at 11. No sleep, no nothing, just seated there, talking nothing. But the quotes. He gave this, the quotes, and like, and by the time I'm changed. I can see it. I'm changed. And when you see those things, you really realize that God is doing something. Not we people, but he uses people. But God is doing something. God is doing something. So that's a story for another day. But this is now. This is a story that I want to give. So she lost her mother. And I looked at it, I said, I'm going to preach to Muranga, in Muranga. The barrio is on Friday, I cannot go there and be in Muranga on Sunday. And I've not studied, I need to study. Because what I'm saying is, it's busy. I preach almost every day. I'm not necessarily in a fellowship, because I preach on the fellowship on Tuesday and on Thursday and on Sunday. Every other day, I have a group of people of 3 or 4, oh, I'm talking to somebody. Almost every day. Just like that. And that's why I'm saying people are hungering. And when you see them change and see things they are not seen for years, then you say, hallelujah, praise be to God. Praise be to God. God is doing something. God is doing something. So I looked at this and said, no, I'll give myself on Saturday. I want to study because I'm going to preach 2 sermons in the Muranga church. So I told her. So I called her. I said, sister, God bless you. Sorry for what had happened. And she's been asking me about, I know you're coming. Now I'm calling her. And I said, sister, I'm sorry. I will not be able to come. I'm praying that God will give you comfort. He said, no, brother. And I heard that. No, brother. And I said, what is it? You mean you're not coming? And she started crying. I said, no. I said, no. When I heard how devastated she was, I said, no, sister, I'm coming. So I decided to go. So we left immediately after fellowship on Thursday. On Thursday, after I preached, we had another brother's car that can take a van that can take 7 people. I think we were six. So we drove. He drove us there, and we arrived very early in the morning, so we had the barrio. And finally, when we arrived home, we went there, parked somewhere, so that the day would come. And in very early in the morning, like 7 or something like that, we drove there in the house. And immediately she saw, that's what I'm saying, brother, we are family. She had the family there, she had the brothers, but that was not nothing. When we, who are believers of this message, who she believes that we live in the eternity together. Those have that, because there's a difference, brothers. Those who have seen this, where we are, the real message believers. There are some people who are not real message believers. I don't think that's understandable. The message believers of the hour, there's the message of the hour, the believers of that is different from the others.
Amen.
And when she saw us, and of course, there was another sister there who held her because she could not. She just cried and held us, and we held together. And she felt like her new family has come. And that touched me, brother. That touched me. And that, I ran by the son there. I said, there's a scripture in Philippines. I think we can read it. Let's read it. It's in Philippines. Is in the book of Philippines. It's very good because I finally read it in the fellowship, and it really touched me. Let's read it. Philippians 2, second chapter of Philippians. If there be, and I'm not going to take long. Time is gone. Let me finish that story and then, okay. I'm just going to read it very fast. Second Philippians 2:2. If there be, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, or if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowls of mercies, fulfill you in my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Now you can go to the Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Maybe paragraph something there before he comes to paragraph 105. How he says that you buckle together, you be one, you care about one another. Above everything, love one another. I think he's talking about that. Let nothing be done through strife. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lawlessness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Right. And it says, look not every man on his own things, but every man on man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. And it goes on, it goes on, it goes on. But what it is let's be one. Let's humble ourselves. Let's love one another. Remember this statement that I said. We are family. I don't have any other family. If you leave me, where else do I go? I hope you get that. You are my family. I'm your family. So you might not be able to come, Brother Michael, but give me a call. I'm in problems. Give me a call. Just encourage me. Talk to me. I know my brother's talked. Call a sister. Sister, how are you doing? I learned my lesson there. I learned my lesson. And that sister is with us. I don't know what to say, but he's completely nuts. She doesn't know nothing else. She doesn't know their brothers, their sisters. She doesn't know the worldly people. She only knows her family is we people. And that was great. So, but to get all this was to bring you to where today. So I come back. I said, immediately after the funeral, we traveled at night. So we had this brother from Moranga, and this brother has he's really given me a lot of trouble with the quotes of the prophet about the rapture, about the resurrection, about his coming, and where we are. His name is Brother Kacheru. Maybe he's going to listen in. And he is a man who studies. He's a man who knows this message. I mean, in studying. He knows where the quote is, where this is, where this is. He really knows. He's the one who gave me a lot of trouble when I had was ministering in a certain ministry meeting. He was the one that was the most vocal against me in the rapture. So now there's another thing. It doesn't matter how much they oppose you. It doesn't matter how much they're against you. Brothers and sisters, just love them. If it comes to a place where you don't love them, with the love of God, just realize that, go back to the altar.
Amen.
Pray for yourself. It's not right. Love them. When you see how much they're wrong there, if you don't cry, if you don't have a burden in yourself, then something is not right. And they know that. They know that. Even after calling me names, one time I read this quote. In the University of Union, I said, you cannot preach Wesley, Ruther. You cannot preach Wesley. You cannot preach Pentecost. I read that quote. And immediately I moved from the pulpit. A brother, a lovely brother. I was looking for him. I didn't get a chance to see him. He said, that is the hiss of the serpent. I said, he said that. I still love him. I was looking for him. I didn't get him. When I got back to Kenya, I'm going to get him. You think, brother, they don't know. that's the attitude. That they don't know what they're saying. They think it's a seed of the serpent. That's their thinking. If the seed of God, he is my brother. I don't care what he says. I'm going to go back there and find him and look for him and get him to this. If he refuses, I will have done my part. And that is my attitude then. That's right. So now I come with him. I came to my house, and it was so late. It was like 1 in the night. So he was given a place to sleep, and he slept. And we ate, and then went to sleep. I wanted to come out to wake up early and study. I wanted to study. I wanted him to go home, or sit there and don't talk to me because I want to study. That was my desire, and I made that be known to him. I said, "But brother," he said, "But brother, why don't you give me just 1 hour?" I said, "You want me to give you 1 hour, brother? Okay, let it be 1 hour." And he said, "Okay, let's sit down and talk about 1 hour." And then he started asking questions, and then he went on and on. And one of the things that Brother Don said that I said last night is, you know, you don't know what questions he's going to ask. That has been it every time, wherever I go. And I don't know those questions. But brothers, I'm telling you, the Lord brings the answers. The answers that I also didn't know. Can you get that? The answer that I didn't know myself. Okay? But he asks them, and then God gives me answers. And some of them I say, and then when I open, I see a quote saying exactly what I said. I said, okay, is the Lord doing it? It's not people, it's not a human being. That's not me, it's beyond me. I can't do that. Because some of these things I even don't know. And we went on and went on. Something that we thought it would take 1 hour. He was leaving from my house at 7 in the evening. I remember coming to a place now, we are going in layers. And we came to a place where he's saying no. He believes that these people are going to resurrect from the graves. And I said, no. In this first resurrection, I said, no. That is in the general resurrection. Now we come around there. And around there, he brings about the three things. I said, the three things are the same. They're just the same thing and it happened at the same time. I said that. And I show him exactly, we come and got stuck on this voice. You know the shout, the voice. He says, the voice is the voice of resurrection. We're going to resurrect, we're going to open, just like it happened in the first resurrection. Of Matthew, you know, when they resurrected and they walked here on earth for 40 days, it's going to happen like that. I said, no, we don't have that such kind of a promise here. It's all this is a voice. And he says, a voice and a shout is one of the same thing in that coming, in his coming. He said like that. He looked at it. He said, how about trumpet? I said, the trumpet is simply Brother Branham's trumpet, this gospel trumpet. I said, how do you connect? I'm getting it shorter because we went on and on and on. And he asked me, where do you get this trumpet? That's a trumpet. That is what quietened him. And I could see, did like that. And he says, brother, we are together now. But he asked me this question. How do you get the trumpet of the Thessalonians? And this other trumpet, and that trumpet, and this trumpet, the seventh trumpet. How do you get the seventh trumpet and this trumpet? I realized that I've never even thought about that. Myself, I've never thought about connecting a quote. I just think it is obvious. So I realized I don't have a quote. But now he is wanting a quote. He's wanting a quote. How do you connect that the great trumpet? Brother, don't talk about it. How do you connect that the great trumpet? And I said, okay, I've never even thought about it. And I looked at my quote. I've never even put it here. But I said, it must be there because I knew in my mind it was obvious. The seventh trumpet, the great trumpet is the same. Now, and I just, I'm telling you, brothers, it's God. I'm saying it's God. It's not you. You can't do it. You can do it because you even don't know what questions they're going to ask you. And they know it. And they know the message. So they go on and needing. And I came to a place now and I said, brother, I've never thought about that. But he's here. It's here. I know it's here. It's not somewhere. So I just opened my computer, my iPad. And this is what I read to him. I'm going to read this and then close. I'm going to read this and then curse. This is what I read to him. And I know I've read it, but this is what I read. paragraph 256. I'm just going to read just two lines and you see. And even those who arrive and remain, isn't that Thessalonians 4? That's Thessalonians 4, where they shout, and even those who arrive and remain till his coming shall not hinder them which are asleep. For the trumpet of God shall sound. What is the last trumpet? The seventh trumpet. We have seven trumpets. The seventh trumpet. And I read that as, okay. He kind of like somebody who has been running and like that. And he was called up. He said, brother, we are together now. Brother, we are together now. After he saw that, he said, brother, we are together now. He shook my hand and said, brother, this is it. This is it. And I saw him. He's caught up. I mean, to me, he was caught up right there. And those are the things that I can give you, those stories. Those stories, they are good. When you see the Lord doing something on these people, when you see them coming to this, where we are, I mean, it's exciting. It's very exciting, and you love it. I was saying to a brother, but that's another story for another day. I was telling a brother, I said something. I don't even remember what it was, but I said something, and I said a quote. I directed him to a quote. A brother who also spent a night with me, another brother, and I woke up. I said it. He said, and I was now going to the bathroom. So he said, no, come. Oh, where are you going? Come. I said, no, I'm going to the bathroom. No, brother. And jumping up, something has opened to him. Something had just opened to him like that. And it was great. It was great. When you see those things. Now, the other thing to finish is, I went to Muranga. And now I've not studied. I don't even know what to preach. And I'm going to preach to someone. So, and I'm going to Muranga. I've not studied at all. I'm going to Muranga. So Bill took me to Muranga. And I was telling Bill, don't talk to me very much. I'm trying to study now. And it's a drive about that. Isn't it 30 minutes to Muranga from Vika? About that. 30 or 40 minutes, Brother Don, from Muranga is the time that I have now. So I tried to get some scriptures. And when I go there, brother, I've never been able to connect the things like I did with the quotes. You know, I'm not a quote reader. I just went there with two quotes on the first sermon, the two quotes. The one quote is in that one of, you cannot preach Luther, you cannot preach Wesley, you cannot preach. Then when it comes the last year, then what are you going to preach? You go to, I went to who is this Melchizedek? I said, Ruther, Wesley, Pentecost, the rapture. And that was my first sermon. It was there. And they were all looking at it. Most of them were just writing and looking like that. And then I went to the two witnesses. Who are the two witnesses? Do we have two men going there? And I just laid it there. And the Lord, and I'm, as I'm saying, I'll finish now. I'm saying, you can't do it. I realize you can't do it. You can't bring it like that. You can't do it, brother. You can't do it. Some of these things, you even don't know what they're going to ask. You don't know what direction they're going to go. They have quotes that you even have never seen. But I have said, and this is it, brother. And I believe it like this. And I told them, every quote that you have is mine. It's my quote. If you're a believer, every quote I have is yours. You don't have your quotes and my quotes. All quotes belongs to the believer, and I'm a believer. That's exactly my motto. That's the way I see it. And God is gracious. Now, one of the things I would like to say before I leave here. God has given you something. You don't know that. God has given you something. God has given you this revelation. You know these things. There are people out there who are hungering and dusting. That's why I'm saying, I would have liked to read that quote of the prophet. When he went to Mishwana, and he found some people there, he really wanted to be with them. He really wanted to be with them. You remember that time when he had a siyasaka? You people know what a siyasaka is. Something that, is not. It was not ironed, and it was so bad he could not even come to the pulpit. And when they called him, he was not. They called him the first day, and when they called him, he just said his name. Branham from baptism in Jeffersonville, and he sat down. And now the following day, after sleeping there, he came back. When he came back, he didn't want to start before people. So he hid between the people like that, and they kept calling. Brother Branham, they wanted each minister that had introduced themselves the previous day to come and speak something. And then he hid himself because he could not come out because of the CSI. I remember that story. He couldn't come out. And he was still seated there. And the other guy that was here, he said, "Do you know that guy that is being called at the front there?" He said, "Yes, I do. It's me. But you see how I am." I said, "We don't care what you are. Get out of there and talk." And the prophet went there at the pulpit. And he stood before the people, and he just looked down. You know, he was so bad. He looked miserable. And he looked down. He said, "I don't know. I don't have the things that you have, but I was called." And he started giving a testimony of how God called him. And he said how he went to hell. And he said, and there, I looked, and my mother was not there. And I looked, my father was not there. I looked, my brother was not there, as he went down to hell. And when he came to somebody, maybe the fifth person, he cried. And I looked, my mother was not there, and I cried. And then, like that, and the fifth person, he started crying himself. And the whole congregation was electrified, and they all started crying. Brother, God wanted him to be with those people. He was a messenger to those people. He was a messenger of the age. God was not happy. And I'm not trying to say anything, but God was not happy that he didn't do that. You remember that? My wife told me yesterday that he has told me so many times that don't care about us. Don't care about what we're eating. Don't care about that. She said, we were driving down from Mount Tabor, and she said, "I've seen God when you're there working for him. I've seen that car break down, and God doth a miracle." And I said, and I can prove it as God. Be there, God will take care of the rest of the things. What I'm trying to say is those people are hungering. A sister, when I think I was in the hotel, a sister called me. This is how serious they are. That's a sister, not a brother. She called me. She said, "Brother, God bless you. I know what you people are doing here. You and Brother Don." She said, "Brother Don," and Brother Don doesn't even know. "Brother Don did something to my daughter that turned her completely around." Don doesn't even know. God is working, brothers. She turned her around. That girl that was going to the world, a girl that was completely gone, she turned around. From a few words that was spoken by Don, I don't know, even Don was not even aware, because when I ask him, he says he doesn't know. But that girl is now turned around, and she's a nice Christian in the church, trying her best to do the right thing in the church now. And it's this time when Don was there, and now she called me, the mother called me, said, please, Brother Stanley, we don't want you. I would suggest that you people don't come together." That's what he said. "Don't come together so that we have more of you. You know, let Don be left. Come. Go back and let Don come." that's a sister suggesting that. That's how dusty, that's how hungering these people are. People are hungering out there. People want this. People, you don't care. You know, they don't. I preached for two sermons and they didn't go out in Muranga for almost 3 hours. Just I stopped somewhere. I said, "Now this is my other topic." And they don't care. They're just there. They don't even, they want more. And when I finished, they said, "Brother, you could have continued." That's what they're saying. That's how hungry. Those people are hungry. They want it. And because God has helped us to see it, please, brothers, let's take it there. May God bless you. I have very many stories. That's just a short story. And we talk about it. Let's pray. Father, you love us. You really love us, Lord. And we are just like any other Americans. We walk around. We work. Sometimes we have hardships. We pay bills. Sometimes we get problems in paying our bills. we have children. Sometimes our children don't go the way we want, Lord. We're just typical Americans from the outside, from the outlook, Lord. But Lord, that's how Israel looked. And you look at them and they wonder, how do you see that you love them? But Lord, you said that you loved them because you opened yourself to them and revealed yourself to them and erected them, Lord God, and put something in them that you called them your children. And that's the difference, Father. The Lord, you brought us to a place, Lord, that we recognize that, Father, we are your children, Lord God. That you opened yourself, Father, that we eat you, Lord God, that we live, Lord God, by you, Heaven, Father. And Lord, it's not anything good that we've done, Lord, that you brought us to this far, Father. Father, we pray and plead with you, Lord God, that you draw us, Lord God, closer to yourself. Father, bring us closer to yourself, Father. We want to surrender. We want to be taken by you, Lord God. Father, we want to be you. We want to be identified, Lord God, that when we live here, like Brother Don taught this morning, Lord, that we can stand before people and people can see Christ in us. It's very interesting about that story of that woman, Lord, when they knew, Father, that she was a harlot, she was a nobody, she was something, somebody that does not have a name, a good name at all. But they were wondering, where did she get this bravery to talk, even to declare that she has seen something and declaring in the city like that? Father, there's something that has happened to us, Lord God, that, Father, it's you who done that. It's your election. It's your love. It's your care, Father. We love it. We love you, Father. Help us, Father, to portray you, to give a picture of the true picture of who you are to the earth, Father. Forgive our shortcomings, Father. Forgive where, Father, we don't do right, Lord. Take it to the sea of forgetfulness. And the good thing about you, Lord, is what the prophet said in 1964, at the end of the year, telling you, Lord God, that you take away all the things that is done in that year, Father, that does not look like you. And you said that you would take all that to the sea of forgetfulness. You love your children. You love your seed. Father, you love your sons and daughters so much, Lord, that you are there, seated there, Lord God, waiting that this body, if this body does anything, Lord, that is not according to the, you grab it and you take it to the sea of forgiveness, Lord. And we are here, Father, asking you to do the same even now. Anything, Lord, that does not portray you, that does not show you, Father, here, take it to the sea of forgetfulness, Lord. It's only you who has that access. Nobody else can get there. Father, help us. We want to love you. We want to love you more, Lord. We want to serve you better. We want to do your will, Lord God. Take us to yourself now is our prayer. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.